Hi, it's Chris Titley here from Sub11. As part of the Sub11 Uncovered podcast series, we're joined by James Stewart, co-founder of Billchaser, live in Billchaser's headquarters in Toowong. James, let's go back to the early days, and for the listeners out there that don't know anything about Billchaser, how the business began and what it does.
Yeah, so Billchaser started, the idea of Billchaser started around 2018 or thereabouts. When we were dealing with the collections industry, so Billchaser is a debt collection agency. We're licensed nationally, and we deal mainly with that sort of small to medium enterprise. Being as ingrained in the collections industry as I was back then, typically what you find in debt collection is you've got these big debt collection players that are across the industry. Their focus really is on the big banks, telcos, and utilities. They would rather sort of 20 clients have got a million debts. Billchaser came in to fit that gap where we've got, say, you know, we'd rather a million clients that have got two debts each, so to speak. I wish we had a million clients, we don't. But that's the that's a little wedge that we came in. What we end up finding is that there's a lot of these small businesses, sole traders, tradies, those sorts of things, where they just don't know that debt collection is actually a possibility outside of the obvious of calling angrily through to the client and saying, give us your money.
Yeah.
They don't know that there's sort of a legitimate avenue that they can go down. So we started Billchaser, or the concept of it, in about 2018. From then, it built up around sort of 2019, and then 2020, obviously, unfortunately, COVID hit. And that was just sort of a real hit. Like we had, you know, the Treasurer of Queensland come out and pretty much say, like, if we could just stop debt collection, yes, that'd be great.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a bit of a, you know, a bit of a pain point for us. We really launched sort of in 2021, early 2021, and we are a sole digital only collection agency. So unlike traditional agencies where you've got a call center full of bums on seats and live operators, we have a small staff contingent. We've never broken three staff members in total.
Wow.
We manage about 140,000 to 160,000 accounts across Australia, and that's across about 4,000 to 5,000 clients that we have on our books, and between sort of 1,900 to 2,300 active every month. So it's a really big base that we have. And it's through partnering with key partners like Yabba and other sort of technology providers that have allowed us to be able to be a solely digital collections industry agency.
Let's go through the process of a client. Let's say a tradie that does some work for someone, and then they bill them, and let's say it's $1,500 worth of work, and then it's, you know, overdue by a few days, or then it's overdue by a month, etc. Do they then approach Billchaser? Firstly, how do they find out about Billchaser? And then secondly, what do you do? Do you manage that payment, or do you buy that payment off them?
Yeah, great question. So the way in which most people find us is just word of mouth. We've got a great network out there in that sort of, in that tradie business network, small business network. We get involved with small business associations and those sorts of things. Once the debt's gotten to a certain age, so what we typically find is we're sometimes that sort of last port of call, where somebody has gone through that process, they've had their accountant ring, they've, you know, even had their wife call or partner call.
Try
and get some sort of dollars out of it.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they find us, and then they see sort of the value proposition. So, you know, we'll charge anywhere, you know, from 20% is kind of where we start, for depending on sort of the complexity of the account or the client. And we can go down to sort of single digits in terms of commission percentage based on the client. So we sort of welcome them in, find out a bit about them. Having 2,000 to 5,000 clients on the books, we have everyone. Like we have state health departments, we have national gym chains, we have landscapers, we have beauty salons. So finding out a little bit about the business helps us to be able to craft the message that needs to go out. Because you can imagine for every client that turns up that says, hey, Chris owes me $2,500, I've then got Chris saying, no, I don't, and this is why.
Yes.
And so there's always that sort of combativeness. So, you know, some of the weirdest ones that we've ever had is a massive national concrete provider was holding up a $42,000 payment because of a $400 cleaning line item where they were claiming concrete prints were left throughout the job site. You know, and it's that kind of granularity that you need to be able to work through, and that a digital platform's got to be able to solve. So having, you know, the emergence of AI has been huge for us, in that it's creative enough now where it can start having those conversations and sort of breaking down those walls and barriers.
Just from a macro point of view, I mean, the importance of being paid on time, or at least being paid, I mean, just in that example alone, I'm sure there would have been some holdups along the way in terms of a chain of events. I mean, how do you define that tangibly as how important something like this is?
It's incredibly important. So I'll go back to that concrete one, and people who listen to other podcasts may have heard me talk about it, but it really sticks in my mind. Being a licensed field agent or a licensed debt collector, you know, you get these kind of cool little rights. It takes you a long time to get the license, but once you got it, it's really cool. Like you can legally occupy somebody's office space.
Do you keep the license in your wallet, or is it a digital license?
No, it's in my wallet, absolutely. and so I went to this particular client and said, you know, I hold a debt on the customer's behalf, and I waited in their lobby. I think I ordered Gosman and Gomez or something, just to stink out the place a little bit. But I ended up getting the check handed over to me, which was great. When I went and delivered it through to the tradie, he was incredibly emotional. This is a guy who's got a $42,000 invoice. He's dealing on a 7% margin for the job to try and compete with the big guys. Yep. So he's outlaid, you know, the better part of the $40,000 in the first place. Yeah, exactly right, to try and get it across the line. So that importance, you know, when you break it down, the small to medium enterprise across Australia, they're all just battling Aussies. You know, they're ma and pa kettles. Yep. They're just trying to put food on the table for the family and keep the lights on. We're providing, you know, a much needed service for these people out there. And obviously for every, you know, for every person claiming that they're owed some money, there of course is always a story around why potentially it shouldn't be paid or why it can't be paid at the moment, whether it's due to the person's social or financial position.
I'm interested in how much you get involved in that. And from the sort of quote unquote, he said, she said, you know, like, I mean, is that Bill Chase's role, or is it sort of a role to facilitate, you know, one side of it and work for one party and not the other?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Yabba was instrumental. They built this thing it's basically a chat platform where we can connect the client to the customer. And basically it takes something like where the client goes, "Hey, stuff you man, give me my $1,200 and goes, "Dear Chris, I would appreciate it if you could come up with $1,200 in a timely manner, or just let me know a date of payment."
Yep.
And then when the customer might reply back and say, you know, "Screw you, man. I'm not paying that money. You left a log sitting in my backyard." It goes, "Dear sir, I am disputing this based on, you know, a log that was left in our backyard." Yeah. And so, you know, by having those sort of streams, because what we found is Debt Collection 101 by clients is calling people and saying, "Oi, come on, it's been 30 days now. You've been holding it out, bloody pay the money," and using a range of other profanities. And then it just gets the customer's back up. And then next thing, it becomes an emotional war. Nobody wants to give in. Everybody wants a win. And then nobody wins.
Yep.
And so by having us there to sort of break it down, I'm trying to remember what the name is of the actual feature that is being sold. I think it's called Chat Moderator. But by having us sitting in the middle there from a digital aspect, it just calms everything down. And most importantly, we always ask clients, you know, if you had to give a little bit just of something, the person's not paid for some reason, right?
Yes.
Whether it's a hardship or whether they genuinely have a dispute, do you have something? And most people usually set it at sort of a 10 or a 20% discount. And that's enough to give the end users a bit of a psychological win to go, "Yay, you know, I got a bit."
Yep. So the negotiation becomes like an outcome that both parties are going, "All right, I'll take that. Look, I'll write some of it off."
Yeah.
So to speak, but it's something's better than nothing.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And so that's been, it's been great. And it's really important for us to, I mean, the debt collection industry is so heavily regulated. You know, ASIC regulates the collections industry. They have the debt collection guidelines and they monitor them, obviously, very, very carefully. As part of that, the ACCC. As part of that, the ACCC takes a really hard stance on everything that we do. And so as part of that, there's a number of regulators that have come out over the past. So you've got people like AFCA, Way Forward, these different organizations, the financial counselors, Uniting Care across Australia, and the great work that Uniting Care and Sue Fraser, OAM, is doing. But because of that, the pressure on the actual collection agencies, you know, gone are the days of those chains and baseball bats. That has not existed for 20 years.
Yep.
Everything is so heavily compliant and risk mitigated. It's a different world out there.
And James, I'm interested to know about the market itself, the debt collection market, in regards to competitive activity, and is anyone like you out there currently?
Your debt collection is really interesting. So there's two sort of clear sides to it. So you've got your debt purchase arm, you've got your big companies out there, your Credit Corps, your Panthera Finances, your Pioneers. That's kind of consolidated now, you know, once Collection House in Brisbane went down and Credit Corp sort of bought their assets. That's the debt purchase arm. You've then got the contingent collections. That's the one that we play in. Somebody gives you $1,000 and offers you 10% to go and collect it, and off you go.
Yep.
There's a lot of people in that space, probably about 200 to 300 across Australia. There's really only 2 to 3 custom or companies that sort of fit into our space. So you've kind of got Bill Chaser, Credit Clear, but they're more sort of internal collections. And again, they're focusing on that big end of town. And then you've got somebody like, say, Indebted. And to be fair, because they're not exactly...
VC funded.
They're not exactly that transparent. We don't know whether they're going well or not well or which clients they've got, but they're kind of around. One of the biggest problems that you do continually hear from Credit Clear and, you know, whisperings in Indebted is the cost of acquisition of clients is actually quite high. Where do you find them? How do you get them onboarded? Mm. We're really lucky in that we have a seamless onboarding process that goes through our custom Bill Chaser onboards between 15 to 20 new clients every single week. And we just do that organically. Yeah, we spend $0 on marketing.
Yeah.
And because of that, it means that our cost for onboarding and our cost for acquisition is pretty much near zero. And again, because we have such a, we're very upfront with customers. We're a digital only and a digital first collections agency. They're not turning up expecting that they're going to have their, a 200 seat call center be ringing. They know what they're getting themselves into, and they're more than happy to go on that. And as I said, you know, national brands, we've got, you know, state health departments, those sorts of things that are happy to go on that journey, because I think we are moving towards where you want that low touch collections. You want to treat customers with a level of respect where you know that they can get on top of this matter themselves. They don't need another human hounding them every day or every second day about the matter. So the market's gone under a lot of consolidation in that sort of big end of town. In our space, it's still ripe, and I think it's got lots and lots of room to grow. It's exciting.
When it comes to utility companies and bigger companies, as you mentioned, that other people play in, when there's a threat of a credit rating change or there's something that potentially is an outcome, how does that work when it comes to $1,500 bills, $800 bills? Can you still take someone down that path to change their credit rating or change the impact of their...
Yeah, it's a great question. And in fact, I was on a panel for FinTech Queensland the other day, and we were talking about credit defaults on people's credit files. So I work intimately with Equifax and still sort of, you know, take calls from them from time to time. Equifax is sort of Australia's leading credit reporting bureau and manages sort of people's credit file. For an account or a credit account to be eligible to have a default put on your credit file, it has to be over or $150 or more. That's kind of the baseline rate. We saw a long time ago, you know, Afterpay got in, you know, a little bit of trouble there because people realized that, you know, there was a sweet spot where you could actually buy a product and then all of their max fees wouldn't hit $150. Therefore, you're ineligible to get credit defaults. And so credit defaults obviously go on your account. If they go onto your file, that's there for 6 years. And so that does have a direct impact on your ability to gain credit moving forward, even things like rental tenancy agreements and those sorts of things, so being able to get a rental property. So we find a lot of the times that our customers have already put a credit default on their account, and then they send the account to us for follow-up. The credit default is a great collections tool. It's an unfortunate tool that sometimes you have to go down the route of, but it is quite effective that it does, I suppose, for people that are unwilling to just engage with you, it's a really good tool just to get them to engage. Probably one of the most important things about debt collection that nobody realizes in Australia, and this is, I can't get this through to enough people who do have a debt.
I'm listening.
Yep. If you call a debt collection agency and just ask them questions about your account, any questions, you could have an hour-long conversation with them on the phone. That does not make you liable for the debt. It does not mean that you've now taken ownership of the debt. All you have done is found out some factual information. You can then respectfully say, I'll consider my position and I'll call you back. So do not be afraid to engage with debt collection agencies. People have this really weird fear that they're going to answer the phone, they're going to reply to a text, and then next thing their bank account's going to start draining. Does not work that way.
Right.
We are so...
That I didn't know that, but I think it's a very, like a very important point to get across.
Yeah, hugely. There's a lot of people out there that have a general fear that you know, interacting at all with a collections agency means they're going to be immediately liable. That's not the case. You can ask as many questions as you want. Does not mean you're liable. And so that's why we say to everybody, before we go down the credit default path or the legal path, just touch base with us. That's all you have to do. That stops the whole process. But if we know you're getting our letters, we know you're still living at the address, and we know that you're just ignoring, the only avenues that we have are going down the credit default and then potentially down a legal route where you take litigation against someone.
You touched on using Yabba before in terms of the involvement and how, as a technology only company, how have you used Yabba and how's that integrated within BattleChaser?
It's been amazing. So we have a number of ways in which we use Yabba. First and foremost, one of the greatest things that we've got is their multilingual chat platform. The idea that only people that speak only English are in debt is ridiculous. So being able to offer multilingual services for our various customers, there's almost 200,000 people on our books. So based on the stats of 1 in 5 people speaking non-English language at home, we've got a number of people out there that are relying on the multilingual communications. The second one has been our chatbots and the ability for our chatbots to be really seamlessly integrated. So Yabba has been on the OpenAI sort of plan since about 2019, 2020 or thereabouts. Okay. And so we've had chatbots really early on, a lot before the rest of the industry. So it's really specific. It sits inside a sandbox and basically says, Chris, like, are you in a position to deal with this account now? If the answer is anything but yes, then it funnels down a different channel. If it is yes, then we talk about whether you want to make a full payment, a part payment, go on a payment plan, what's affordable. We even do things like the bot. You can message into a bot and say, hey, I need to pause my payment this week, and it'll hit pause for you and then just extend out the payment plan. And then we've got the voice automation side of things, which has been massive. You know, everybody wants voice calls being made. So we have a bot that makes these phone calls out to people, tells them we're a virtual assistant, says to them, Chris, you know, although I'm the virtual assistant, if you'd like to deal with a live operator, you can press 1 now.
Yep.
Nobody presses 1. Very few people press 1. Everybody likes the idea of dealing with a virtual agent, a chat bot, or a self-serve. It comes to debt, there's a lot of pride that gets involved.
Yep. Yep.
The idea that you can deal not with a human is a good thing. Mm. I know that our customers particularly feel quite happy to yell at our chatbot from time to time. I'm not sure they'd feel quite as happy to
as
yelly as
Michael Capitals.
As a human. Yeah. So Yabba's been fantastic with that, not only the outbound voice, but also the inbound voice. So if anybody was to call the BattleChaser line, they'll be redirected straight through to either our website. They can use their telephone number to look up their reference number, which can be texted through to them, and all those sorts of things. So hugely useful.
I'm going to ask a bit of a random question, but the name BattleChaser, it does what it says it does. It's pretty important, I think, in a name. How did you come up with a name, and why is the name, do you think, a name is important?
I have one of my oldest and dearest friends, Andrew Wellstead. So shout out to Welly. He runs a company called Flip Creative, or We Are Flip. Welly, every time that I talk to him about a new business, says, well, before we even get started on what the business is, you have to have a name. And I went to him with a digital collections platform servicing small businesses, and Welly came back with BattleChaser. Way to go.
Simple, you can spell it, right?
Simple, you can spell it. It says what it does on the tin. Yeah. It's good. The one thing we've run into is under the debt collection guidelines, again, ACCC, not ASIC, they actually say that before you release who you are, before you sort of tell a customer about where you're from, you have to make sure that your name doesn't insinuate that you're collecting debt from them.
So
it's a bit of a problem for us.
One of the intricacies of being a founder of or leading a company is you can find these hurdles that you come across, right?
Yeah, you do. The name has been good. You know, I'll be very honest, the name's been bad in some instances. Yep. We've gotten some large enterprise clients that we have unfortunately lost. Like really large businesses where they didn't like the name. They thought it was a bit too on the nose they wanted something more like, Australian Receivables Limited or something like that. That's actually who we ended up sending them through to, which is one of our partner companies. Bill does well.
Yep. And when it comes to, the talk of the town has been AI. The talk, you said you've been working for or with sort of AI for many years now. Where do you think it's going in regards to digital collections? Are you obviously one of the market leaders? Do you think that's something which people will want to achieve eventually, as opposed to talking to a person? And how well positioned are you for that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. AI has helped us an unbelievable amount in being able to service customers, but service customers en masse. A great example of that would be if we send out 50,000 text messages, phone calls, and emails today, and we even get 10% of people reply with some query, that's 5,000 pieces of communication that BattleChaser has to deal. And as I've said, we max out at 3 staff. So because of that, AI has been so great for us to be able to scale out that solution to them. More than that, as AI becomes more sophisticated and starts to learn and starts to learn about your business, it starts to provide you with more confidence to give it more tasks. Great example would be hardship, be it either financial or social hardship, is something that's of great importance in the Australian market at the moment. Care has to be taken with those customers, rightfully so, and we've got to give them a little bit more time and attention and also work through them. A lot of those people that are in financial or social hardship have a genuine want to pay that money back. They just can't at the moment. Nobody wants to lie in bed at night thinking, man, I know that Bill Chase is going to be calling me for my $3,900 debt tomorrow. No one wants that. So we've now gotten to a point where we're in testing stages where AI will actually fill in a hardship, be it social or financial application form for you.
Mm.
12 months, 18 months ago, not a chance that you would let a bot do that for you in the event that there was some type of AI hallucination that said, yeah, no, we're not recognizing this, you know, disapproved, whatever. And so as part of that, as we move forward, and AI takes on more of those tasks and techniques, it just, I suppose, bolsters the business so that we don't necessarily have to provide more staff to be able to do that.
Which is a fair expense of the business, right?
Yeah. Huge expense. Yep. I mean, you know, I used to joke with one of my original business partners, if we could come up with a company that, you know, did 20 million profit a year with zero staff, you know, well, you know, that's the game, right?
That's the nirvana, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we are at a stage now where AI helps us, you know, plug a lot of those gaps. We still have to have staff because somebody, or there's always somebody, right? And typically it's the older generation. They want to chat to somebody over the phone, especially when you're dealing with health issues and health accounts.
Just on that sort of wellness piece that you sort of mentioned before, I'm deeply interested in financial wellness and financial education. How much of that is at play at a broader societal level? And do you think there's a material problem with people's overspending or the rise of debt, broadly speaking?
The short answer to that is yes. Bill Chaser is part of...
solvable, I suppose, is another question.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, debt collection is one of those industries. It's got a bad name out there in the market. It's an absolutely necessity.
Mm.
You can't just have consumers out there applying for credit they can't afford and having no consequences. That's the end of the economy as we know it.
Companies as well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
And the money, yeah. Yep.
So as part of that, it has to happen. Education has become a big part. Bill Chase is part of a much bigger group of collection agencies. In fact, the second biggest in Australia, Panthera Finance Group. Panthera Finance has really gone on a big education, and we've taken a lot of learnings from them. They run focus groups with their clients, which is something no other collection agency in Australia does, by the way. It's really cool to see, like, every quarter, 20 to 30 people that are in debt coming into a big meeting room, having dinner, having, you know, some beverages at night, non-alcoholic. And having a conversation around, you know, how they're getting spoken to, how they prefer to be spoken to, what's in the messages.
Feedback, I reckon,
it's amazing. Where
I don't know how I'd speak, like, in terms of, you know, communication, the forcefulness, the psychology, as you mentioned, it's kind of a pride thing, isn't it?
Huge. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But more than that, how they got in that situation and why they can't get out of it. Yeah. They're the two really important things. And there's always, everyone's got a story.
Yeah.
Everyone has one. And so understanding that better means that you can then treat customers, you know, more ethically, more respectfully. You don't have a template approach. You know, if you have a look at Panthera now and the journey that the group of companies, which is, you know, Panthera, Bill Chaser, ARL, Credibot, which is now Finflow Solutions, State Mercantile, ARM, AOL, S, something like that. There's a group of these companies that have taken those learnings.
Yeah.
One of the cool ones that's come out of that has been what's called a welcome pack. So a customer that first joins in that group, one of the first communications they get outside of, say, a notice of referral or a notice of assignment, which are legislatively required letters, they get this welcome pack. And it's really nice. And it basically is, and I'm boiling this down, and the behavioral scientists who put it together will be cringing as I say this. But it basically says, you didn't want to be a customer of ours, but you are.
Yes. Okay.
And this is how it happened.
Yep.
Like, so in the debt purchase world, you know, a telco tried to contact you about your bill. They couldn't reach you. Then they put it up for sale, whichever brand it is, put their hand up and they won it. Now all the money, which used to be owed to, you know,
is
one of the telcos,
them,
is now owed to us.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. Yep. And
we don't want you to be a customer, but you are a customer, and quick as possible, not be a customer.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, we kind of do want them to be a customer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as part of that, they don't necessarily, they've never, like, it's a weird thing, right? Imagine being being called by David Jones and saying, Chris, mate, welcome to DJs, and you go, I've never signed up for David Jones.
Yes.
Right? Same principle, but worse than that, we're calling saying, so you've never been a customer of Bill, but you are now, and you also owe us money. And it's just how we get them down that path and how we sort of break down some barriers. The second thing that we also do is we talk to customers about government grants and incentives. Mm. There are some really cool government grants and incentives. In fact, there's 1.8 billion of them each year in Australia that are not claimed. If anyone wants to come up with a business that can actually work all of that out, that would be, I would subscribe immediately. The fun part about that is, like, there are provisions, for example, in the state of Victoria, where you can get a credit, a monthly credit on your utilities bill once a year. People don't know about that.
No, I wouldn't know about that either.
No, exactly. But there are all of these grants out there. So we try to help people with that. Yep. There are other accounts there are other services that we help with, like budgeting applications and those sorts of things.
And education around wellness and
But the most important thing that we do for customers, and I can't stress this enough, is that we give them flexible payment options and flexible engagement options. So you can engage with us on whatever medium you want, and you can engage with our, you can pay your account off in a mechanism that suits you. So if you were to call me right now, and even if you had a $2,000 account, you could say, all I can afford right now is $5 a week. That's it. $5 a month.
Yep.
As long as I say to you, are you okay if I give you a call in 3 months and just see if your position's changed? And you go, that's fine. Done. Go on $5 a month.
Yep.
What it does, stops me from wasting money calling you and chasing you for more than you can afford, stops you from getting those, to be honest, pesky phone calls from collectors.
No, or just emails. Unnervy. Yeah.
But you can put your head on your pillow that night and go, I'm not going to get any more phone calls. Yeah. I've got it handled at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's a huge comfort. Australia, for especially, when mental health is such a
such
a big issue at the moment.
Yep, yep. One final question, James, in and around some advice that other entrepreneurs may have given you, or something that you kind of live by when it comes to running various startups or being part of various startups?
I send two videos around to my senior managers all the time, which they hate because I don't sleep a lot. So at 2 or 3 a.m., I'm sure their phone bings with various or two particular videos.
You get the do not disturb. Their phone's been silenced.
I take great pleasure in clicking the button saying notify anyway. The first one is Steve Jobs had a great speech. He was hit really hard on a stage giving an approach by almost a heckler in the crowd, and they asked him what he's been doing over the past little while. This is while he was sort of in that transition out of Next, and he turned around and he talked about technology and solutions and the difference of it, and that you can never ever build a technology and then try to sort of retrofit a solution into it. Is that you have to be able to solve a problem and then design the technology around it. Without you solving a problem first and clearly understanding the problem that you are solving, you don't really have a business. So you have to start from the solution first side, and then you can figure out the tech after. And the second one is Jeff Bezos. And he always says, stress never really comes from too much work. Stress comes from not taking action on something you could otherwise action. So a great example with that is one of our CIOs in the group talks about this never ending to-do list. And I had a conversation and said, so at the end of every day, if you just spent 30 minutes just emailing people that you hadn't gotten to just to say, hey, just letting you know I haven't done it, rather than ignoring it, sort of cringing and squinting, going, I hope they don't message me. And then the following morning, waking up and going, hey, the 8 tasks I didn't do yesterday, going, they're just not important to the business. That's why it didn't get done, and cutting them off. So it's just about realizing that avoiding those hard tasks is what really sort of creates you a little bit of stress.
Yeah.
Just get on top of them and send an email. If you can't do it, you can't do it.
James, it's been a pleasure chatting to you today about Bill Chaser, and congratulations on what you've achieved with the company, and look forward to catching up.
Thanks, Chris.